Hello and welcome back to the BTL with Reb T, the Better Through Letter, the show where we talk how to make ourselves better through using the Ramban's letter. After going through the introduction and the letter and lots of lessons, we're up to lesson 15 where we focus on the phrase Uvameh Yiska Elev HaAdam Im Be'osher Hashem Morish Uma'ashir. For indeed, of what should man be prideful? If he has wealth, it is Hashem who makes one prosperous. Again, we're using the letter for the ages from Art Scroll with the wonderful commentary expositions from Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer. So, fear not when a man grows rich, when he increases the splendor of his house, for upon his death he will not take anything. His splendor will not descend after him. That comes from Tehillim. The whole idea of that after 120 years, we literally don't take anything with us. Somebody once pointed out, a sage or a Talmud or a Medrash, don't remember where I heard it, when you come into this world as a tiny, tiny, tiny newborn infant baby, you come with your hands clenched, symbolizing you want to take from the world as much as you can. You want to grab as much as you can, do as much as you can, try to grab as many things in life as you can, especially Torah, mitzvot, and chesed. And when we leave this world, Mirtz Hashem, after 120 full years, we leave this world with our hands open, symbolizing that we take nothing but leave everything behind. After 120 years, the only thing that comes with us is nothing materialistic, nothing physical. Only our good name comes with us, hopefully, God willing, and stays behind. The reputation, Kana Shem Tov, Kana La'atzmo, Perkos talks about, Keter Shem Tov, Ola Al Gabehem, Keter Shem Tov. A good name is the best thing you could get, better than priesthood, better than kingship, even better than Torah in some ways, is having that good name, because taking the Torah, the mitzvot, the chesed with you, elevating yourself and enhancing the world is one of the ultimate pinnacles of our existence, of what we can do. That's what you take with us. That's why after 120, your hands are empty, your hands are open. There's nothing you could take with you. Only things that accompany you, only things that come with you are Torah, Chesed, and Mitzvos. Only good things you do in this world. And those are your defenders. The prosecuting angels, they say, are all the sins, all the averos. Every avera is a prosecuting angel. Every mitzvah is a defending angel. And you want to have the best defense possible. The best defense attorney are the most mitzvahs you could have. As many, many mitzvahs as you have are the angels that'll defend you. Hopefully many, many more defenders than accusers, than prosecutors. So only thing that comes after you is the Torah, mitzvos, chesed, and that good name. Wealth can be a blessing from God. If it is not realized as such, it could also become a source of undue pride. We must realize that everything comes from Hashem. One of the most tragic examples of a man whose heart grew proud as a result of his fabulous riches was Korach. How hashgacha pratis is it that we're up to lesson 15, literally on the eve of Parshas Korach? We are about to read Parshas Korach. And one of the most tragic examples literally was Korach. His arrogance ultimately led him to challenge the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. When Korach was swallowed into the earth as punishment, literally befitting him because he came with an unnatural argument against Moshe, and he was unnaturally swallowed up by the Shemayim. When he was swallowed into the earth as punishment, it was fitting that his vast possessions perished with him. He wanted to have the honor. He wanted to be the leader. He wanted to have power and riches and authority, and literally everything was gone because nothing goes with you. Medrash says, even Korach's clothes and those of his followers, even their names which were inscribed on legal documents, even the tiny sewing needles which they had loaned to others, all were swallowed whole by the earth, pointed out by Medrash Bamidbar Rabbah and also Yerushalmi Talmud Sanhedrin. In obliterating the last vestiges of Korach's wealth, Hashem demonstrated that man never becomes omnipotent, despite his accumulation of all things material. Wealth is indeed a tool which must be used properly. The Talmud points out that Hashem judges one not only by the acts of charity one does, but by his intentions in performing them as well. The Talmud talks about the famous daughter of Nachdim and Ben-Gurion, a man of immense wealth. To their astonishment, they found her scrounging in the dung of animals belonging to Arabs, searching for kernels of barley to satiate her hunger. So tattered were her garments that she wrapped herself in her long hair. Her wedding dowry had been once 1,000,000 golden zuzim. The sages were astonished at her tragic descent into poverty. They couldn't understand it. She explained the cause of the terrible reverse in her family's fortunes. The people of Yerushalayim have a saying for it. Melach mamon chaser. The salt, the preservative of money, is depletion, expenditure for charity. Kasuvos points out, by not giving generously, we have doomed ourselves to this tragic fate. The Talmud is puzzled. Was not Nakdima known for his acts of great charity? The Talmud concludes that the charity which Nakdima performed was solely for the purpose of enhancing his own honor. What's interestingly is that there's another Gemara that talks about the gates, the doors of Nakdima Ben Gurion, and how he prayed that the rain would stop until the doors were done, until the Beis Hamikdash was accounted for and was taken care of, and Hashem acceded to that. But even so, even with such a great person, if things are not done with the best intentions and the best manner and the best way, it could still lead to tragic circumstances, because you have to give generously, not just give, but do with a smile, not just do, but do it with a smile. So he had to do it and make sure that it was purely for the right motives. Yad Yosef points out and writes that the psalmist alludes to the tragic fate of Nakdimon and his likes. Fear not when a man grows rich, for upon his death he will not take anything. When a man misuses his wealth, it will ultimately be lost. When his charity is used to increase the splendor of his house, then indeed his splendor will not descend after him. Even his acts of charity will not rescue him from an ignoble fate. Elsewhere, the Talmud also points out that wealth and status which men enjoy in this world can sometimes be illusory. The son of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was desperately ill. While in a deep coma, he had a vision of Olam Haba, a vision of the world to come. When he regained consciousness, his father asked him, "My son, what did you see in your vision?" The son responded, "I saw a world where everything was upside down. In the world of the future, the powerful men who are on top here are on the bottom, while those who are humble in this world are on top there, enjoying the highest distinction." Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi answered, "My son, the world which you saw was not upside down at all. It was actually perfectly in order." Coming from Baba Basra, the tragedy is nowadays, and especially in general throughout history, this world is Olam Hafach. Everything is backwards, everything is opposite. The people that are given honor, the people that are given prestige, the people often that are given power are the wrong people. The humble are not given the proper respect and the proper honor. Those that are not humble are given it. Think about the whole Hollywood, think about the whole secular society, the people that are given such money, such fame, such prestige. It should go to all the people that really deserve it, the teachers, the workers, all the people out there, the healthcare workers, all the like. Really, millions and millions go to people that throw balls and people that catch balls and people that act and the like. It's crazy. But in the Olam Haba, the Olam Emes, we know who really should get the honor. We know who should really be treated in the right way. That's what the Olam Emes is, because we could see who really should be honored. Chavetz Chaim points out in Shem Olam insights into the story. The vision which the son saw, explained Rabbi Yeshua, was not the world to come at all. It was merely a proper vision of this world. It's as if they had glasses that were cleaned properly, glasses that weren't fuzzy, glasses that weren't murky at all. It was a proper vision. Although God allows men to carry themselves pompously on this earth, their success is only a facade. In truth, they have already sunk into bankruptcy, for the arrogant have already consumed their heavenly reward within their lifetimes. The humble, who appear downtrodden in this world, are the truly wealthy people. Their graceful and dignified struggle has already increased their spiritual stature. Their heavenly portion remains intact and undiminished. It is only the mortal eye which fails to perceive that the rags of the humble poor are the clothes of a masquerade. May we be zoche to always see with the proper way, to always look with the proper way, to have the glasses that are clean, and to understand who really should be honored, who really should be given the proper respect, and realize not to have the pride, but to have the proper humility throughout our lives, to give generously with the proper actions, with the proper face and the proper attitude behind it, and therefore we will hopefully have the best way and life possible. Join us next time as we talk Lesson 16 here on the BTL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.